WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready?
Let's go.
Hey, Michelle.
Hi, Nikki.
So today we have an exciting guest. Well, all our guests are exciting.
All of them are exciting, but it's an exciting topic.
Right. So Kim is a relationship coach for moms, right? So tell us a little bit more, Kim, about what you do.
Well, I say that I am I use the word mentor. For some reason, that's a word that I particularly like. So I help moms bring the romance back to their relationships. And I use the expression like it was when they were dating. But it's not necessary that you want to go way back to those days. I mean, those were great days too, but there were also some issues along the way, I'm sure. But it's that idea of bringing back the excitement of those first days into our everyday lives, because the key is to replace complacency with appreciation.
So you're talking about bringing in the dating game back into our relationships and the whole excitement of being, of dating?
The excitement of dating, yeah.
So you know you're talking to two quarter-century anniversary people. Like,
right.
We both, like, I've been married for 25 years.
How long? Michelle, 27.
Yeah. So we have a lot of work, apparently.
Well, guess what? Let's start, Kim. What exactly do you do? And I mean, how do you encourage couples to bring back that spark? I mean, a lot will, as you said, you're not going back to the early days because things have changed, personalities have changed, situations have changed. And you said mom, so you're referring to families now. Children are now in the mix. So things are a lot different. And particularly with the moms, we get very, very busy. We just had a conversation about just how our lives have changed since we've had our boys. And so you're saying things have changed, but the romance can still be there. So how do you encourage moms to maintain that romance? And I noticed that you're saying moms as opposed to couples.
Mm-hmm.
You're putting it in the hands of the moms to maintain that romance.
Well, I'm not saying it's fully their responsibility.
Right.
It's who's looking for the answers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I've been finding, that often it's the women who are Googling how to bring the romance back or how to get him to take me out on dates once more. Why doesn't he bring me flowers? It's statistically women who will seek out couples counseling more often. It's also women who will file for divorce in the first instance more than men. So from that perspective, it is not putting the full responsibility, but as the person who is actively looking to make a positive change, there are. So that's where it comes from. And also that idea of, I can't do this because he's just so, or he's always that way, or he, and then making us feel as if it's all somebody else's fault and we have no power in that situation. So again, that it comes back to that, how women can feel more empowered in their relationships to make the positive changes.
Of course.
And I guess that comes back as well to this expression about, you know, you say it's not me, it's you. Well, there's this idea that it's not you first, it's me first. So I can't expect you to do things that I don't want to do. And I can't constantly be saying I'm waiting for you to make a change.
Right.
So especially if I'm the one complaining, if I'm the one in the shower crying, if I'm the one, looking up things all the time.
Do something about it.
Do something about it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I guess society has kind of programmed us over the years, over the centuries, that the male is supposed to take charge in all the relationships, all the romance. But I think Michelle and I think since COVID hit, we had actually decided that, you know what, instead of us
waiting
for a celebration or waiting for people to read our minds, we were going to actually plan our own birthdays, mm-hmm. plan our own events, mm-hmm. and say, this is what we want and this is what we're going to have.
Right? And get it.
Right.
Yeah. Without there being any negative.
Exactly.
That's the important part. It's not a case of, well, I'm going to do it.
Right, exactly.
We made a conscious decision that this is how I'd like it to be. And I think it's a good thing to voice that and of be course. Okay with it, that I'm going to plan my birthday or we're going to plan a Christmas dinner or whatever it is, and keep it positive, because at the end of the day, you're getting what you want.
Exactly.
And it's okay.
And they're much appreciative of it too, because it takes the stress off of them. We're happy.
Everybody's happy.
Exactly what we want.
But again, it's about taking charge.
Right.
It is about taking charge, yes. And as you said, taking that responsibility for, this is what I want. And this is, yes. I'm not doing this with the back of my mind thinking, well, he already should have done this. No.
Yes.
No. You
know, exactly. And then there's also the element of, once we do it and they see how happy it makes us, and if it's something they can repeat in a different way, they will do it, because now you've shown them how, they've seen how happy it makes you. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of like psychology around the male mind as well. And one of the, it sounds bad to say, but they're actually really simple.
They are. They are. They are.
They're wonderful. They're wonderful. They're complex in other ways, but in this regard, they really are. They want their partner to be happy, and they want to know what they can do to facilitate that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think if we could kind of understand that if we understand that at the end of it all, in a healthy relationship, our partners generally want what's good for us and what makes us happy, mm-hmm. then we come from that place. Yeah.
And another thing too is, if when you have younger children, you need to start that process going, because soon enough you get to our stage, mm-hmm. where the kids are no longer with you, like, mm-hmm. you know, wanting to be part of going out to dinners and like our kids are basically self-sufficient. They have their own lives, mm-hmm. type of way. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, okay,
it's just you and I.
So you talk about some tips for keeping the love burning bright in your relationship. So
tell us
what these tips are.
All right. So I think these can be applied across the board, regardless of age. And some of them are things you probably have heard before, but we forget along the way. So I'll just run through the five and then we'll talk about them a little bit more if you want. So things like being complimentary, saying thank you, speaking kindly to each other, not speaking about our relationship with other people, mm-hmm. and then trying to go to bed at the same time regularly.
Okay. So
those are five of the things that I honestly believe, if we can implement them, mm-hmm. would have stronger relationships. And numbers 1 to 3, so that's the being complimentary, the saying thank you, and the speaking kindly to each other. That's around this idea that in any great relationship, for any one negative interaction, there are actually 5 positive interactions.
Okay.
Between the. So, and I remember I read that once and I thought, oh, that's just words. And then I saw it again. And then I was listening to a podcast, and then they were talking about being complimentary to your partners. And the general advice there was, if you could find a way to compliment your spouse or partner 5 times a day, that you could save an entire marriage.
Yeah.
Five times.
Okay, Mish, we got to take that challenge.
Start counting.
I'm at like 3, if so much.
I mean, complimenting, though, I think that's a nice thing, because sometimes I will see my husband getting dressed and I'll say in my mind, oh, he's looking kind of sexy today, but I don't actually tell him, but it'd be nice to tell him.
Exactly.
And I want to hear it too. Of course. You know, I'll get dressed in the morning. Why isn't he telling me that I'm looking great? But it goes both ways.
Of course.
It goes both ways.
You give what you get, or you get what you give.
Yeah. Sorry. It goes both ways.
Yeah.
So sometimes we can actually observe them and we say it in our minds, but it doesn't actually come out of our mouths. But I think actually saying it is what matters, you know?
It does.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, because, you know, compliments don't do the other person any good if they're in our head.
True. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And your number four, I think, is very important because I think that, I don't know if you've been with girlfriends and they're going through a hard time with talking their about husbands relationships or whatever. And I've found myself falling into this trap sometimes where it's like, because you want to have that solidarity with them, you go, oh yes, my husband is this, my husband is that. And I had to stop myself one time going, no, he actually is not. Mm-hmm. Why am I saying that? Right? Mm-hmm. Because of course, as we had said in the beginning, what you say out, you call into being. So
right, exactly. And I always have to kind of couch that one in the sense that, okay, we're talking about generally healthy relationships. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not talking about an abusive relationship or a relationship where there is an addiction problem. Those types of issues, definitely talk to somebody you can trust who can help you, you know. But we're talking about the things that just irritate you about your partner. And you know what? We chose them. This is our issue to deal with. And yes, we need to vent. There are other ways to vent. There are, you know, if you have a friend who you know is impartial, who understands you, who understands your partner, who you believe genuinely has your best interest, sure, share with them. But even if you're not quite sure and you don't know if you want to bring them in, I know people talk about journaling. It is not overrated. Write about the issue that's bothering you. Send yourself an email about the issue that's bothering you.
That's a good one.
You know, read it the next day. Is it really bothering you that much still? If it is, hang on to it for a little bit and, you know, continue writing about it. Mm-hmm. And when the issue is over in your mind or you feel settled about it, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Throw away the paper, delete the email. Be done with it, but really be ready to move on from it. And the other thing is when we bring other people in, we have to remember that whole thing I said about, you know, the for every one negative interaction, try to have the five positive interactions. Fine. But when you're complaining to your friends about the things that irritate you, what are they hearing from you? Are they hearing about the 10 times he did something that really made you happy?
Mm-hmm.
You know, about the 2 times that he irritated you. So what is the picture our friends are getting or our family members are getting about our relationship? Our friends and family should want us to be safe and happy. So if we're just telling them this man is making me miserable,
mm-hmm.
and then what kinds of conflict is that going to cause when your partner is in a space with
when
you
he
together?
Has to interact with him? And in addition to that, they're only hearing one side of the story.
Of course.
That's just one perspective, you know what I mean? So they're not really getting the full context.
Oh, what you went on with.
Yeah. Why did my husband respond to me the way he did? Maybe I did or said something that caused him to respond that way. So it's really not fair.
Of course.
This really isn't fair.
No.
But what are your thoughts on the five love languages? What are your thoughts on that and how they impact relationships?
I have mixed thoughts on that one, actually. And just the other night, my husband and I were talking about it. We had done ours years ago. Mm-hmm. And I forget. I think it's that words of affirmation for me and it's acts of service for him. Mm-hmm. So which are the two that we kind of really remember.
It was, right.
Yeah. So I think where the love languages is really strong, it's in helping you understand how your partner is showing love and affection.
Right.
So you have the partner who doesn't really say, I love you. He doesn't really say, oh, you look lovely today. But this is the same partner who is doing things like bringing you a cup of tea in the evening. He is making sure that when he goes to the grocery, he picks up a snack that you like. He knows you're tired. Maybe he just did the dishes when normally you do it. Mm-hmm. Those are the acts of service. So he's not telling you he loves you, but he's showing it to you. So when you understand that that's how he shows his love and affection, you can begin to understand, okay, he does love me. And just because I want to hear the
word
of you. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I think where it also be where the love languages can be challenging, however, it's when we start to say, well, I'm doing things in your language and I have done all of this. but you don't do things in my love language. And I have actually heard ladies come and say that, but I went and I found out what his love language is so I can show him, but he doesn't do the same for me. But that, and that's where the love languages can sometimes become this kind of score keeping.
Right. I do this, you do that. Yeah. But I think what's important in all of it, though, is the communication.
Of course.
So, and I think, as you said, what the good thing that can come out of it and how we should probably channel it is understanding yourself and understanding your spouse. And I think understanding your spouse is, and obviously understanding yourself too, but getting to know that this is how he shows me that he loves me. So I no longer have a expectation of him saying, I love you, honey, 10 times per day.
All right.
But he may come through the door with a rose in his hand and he puts it down. And that's his way of saying, I was thinking of you on the way home and I stopped and I bought this rose for you. So I think it's a good thing. It's a good exercise to do, to understand what you appreciate and to understand what he, how he demonstrates his love too. So it does have its role. I think it's actually quite interesting to hear from both sides how we express ourselves. Yeah. You know? I think it's interesting.
It is. And it is a lot to keep track of. This is my way of seeing it. This is your way of seeing it. This is my way of receiving it. This is your way of receiving it. And you have to keep track of all of those. But no, I think it
has a role to play.
Has a role to play, but just don't get bogged down in that scorekeeping.
No, of course not.
So Kim is a language teacher, professor by profession, but she's also a relationship mentor. And so she offers the romance restoration blueprint.
Tell us about that.
So it's the Romance Restoration Blueprint is a 3-month program, and it's designed to help couples, well, help women, because women are the ones who are looking for the answers very often, identify areas they want to work on to repair the bond with their partners. And they are excited to see us too. And that's what the Romance Restoration Blueprint is all about, helping us to uncover what are the key issues holding us back and how we can overcome it, because for each person it's going to be different. For each person there are different levels that they would need to work through for themselves and for their situation. So that's what we do. It's a 3-month program to begin with, and then we can extend it depending on the needs of the person.
And so the focus will be on moms.
The focus is on
what couples?
Not necessarily. Okay. I have had a couple of instances where, you know, we may have a very brief conversation, but it really is the moms. And I'll tell you, one of the main things that I have noticed is that very often underlying some of this disenchantment, there is something about, okay, how can I put it? There's usually some unfulfilled need that mom has. And there's a frustration there that actually is very separate from her relationship. But it comes out of the relationship because that's the person closest. Yes. So very often what we're actually getting at in the beginning is just working on unlocking what is that issue. Because I cannot tell you what a huge difference it makes when she feels more empowered. Because it's like I can do anything. I'm like, yes, you can.
And maybe you could tell us this. Is it sometimes, have you found that need that's lacking is what she probably looks for in her spouse, who is probably not able to fulfill it or does not know that she has that need, but she's expecting, maybe unknowingly, expecting her spouse to fulfill that need that he probably just can't.
Yes.
And once she recognizes what the need is, she can now determine how she's going to handle it.
Yep. I can tell you, like, I've seen this multiple times. For example, we're working in a similar sphere of women entrepreneurs starting their own businesses. And then the issue always comes up where he's not supporting my business, or I want to stop working and he won't support that decision, or I don't want to go get a job and he won't support that decision. And then the issue becomes around the money. And then the expectation is, well, that maybe, and this is the underlying expectation, because these are all, you know, 21st century women, 20th century women as well, because only another generation was born this century. And we're all fully well aware that we can do this for ourselves. We can make our own money, but there is this underlying, you know, genetic inheritance that we have that, well, he's supposed to provide. And that, and it comes out in the in these very modern circumstances where I should be able to pursue my dreams and not have to worry about the financial health of the family, and you are holding me back. Now, that's the core issue. Of course, it presents itself in various ways that will be unique to each couple and, you know, each individual. But that's a really big issue. And underlying that, the two things is she wants that ability to fulfill her dreams of being this successful business owner. And she wants his support in a very particular way. Mm-hmm. And if she doesn't get that support exactly as she thinks she wants it, there's a problem.
Right. Okay. But he may not know how to support her, though.
He may not know how to support her. And to him, and this is another thing that comes up a lot, especially in the beginning when, you know, businesses, you know, we've all started businesses. We know it's not, you don't make money the first day. And you're telling this partner of yours, you have children to look after. Well, yeah, I am not contributing financially anymore. Or I, you know, this money that I'm currently earning, I'm going to stop earning that money. And he's just watching this business like, this woman must be crazy. You know, just they want to take away all the income or potential income. And I am supposed to somehow be okay with it because she has an idea. She wants to run a business. But there's no concrete evidence showing that she can run a business. And again, this is not something we want to hear, but this is exactly what's partly going through their minds as well.
Of course. Where is the truth? And it's a big responsibility for them, right?
Mm-hmm. It is, you know.
So, Kim, how does this work? Is it 3 months of one-on-one coaching?
And it's 3 months. Mm-hmm.
And you meet once a week or once every 2 weeks?
3 times for the month.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So how do we find you, Kim, if anybody wants to be a part of the Romance Restoration Blueprint?
I will send you my links so you can
pop post it. Of course.
Yep. You can find me on Facebook because I do everything off of Facebook, actually. Okay. I do have a website, but it's not more information is available on Facebook.
On Facebook, okay.
And I have a group that I started recently where we do talk about some of these issues on and off, depending on, you know, what has been coming up in the question section.
Mm-hmm. So it's a group,
like a support group,
a group online or
a Facebook group. Yeah. A Facebook group. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Talk okay. Relationships and yeah. So yes, the best thing to do would be to contact me via Facebook. And if you want to chat with me, we can set up an appointment and we have a chat about what might be the issues affecting you at the moment and if it's possible for us to work together.
Mm-hmm. And of course, you can recognize Kim's lovely accent, right?
Tell us where you're from.
The Southern Caribbean. So Trinidad.
Miss Carnival herself.
Well, we're supposed to be playing Mass next year. I was telling Nicola that, but the expectation was that my parents were watching the children. So we confirmed over the weekend that they were watching the children. Like, well, no, we're thinking we might do something Carnival Tuesday.
Okay then.
Yes, like, well, yeah, grandchildren.
They're keeping the romance going.
Yeah. Too much.
Sounds good, though. Nick and I were talking about Trinidad Carnival not so long ago. So we'll see what happens there.
Well, thank you so much, Kim, for your time and telling us everything about this very relevant
blueprint.
Yes. And we'll have all of your links and everything in our caption so that people can find you.
Thank you very much. It was lovely
talking with you.
You too.
Take care.
All right, Kim.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening.
And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at What.the50.